is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
We're best friends who also happen to be polar opposites.
I'm a colorful extrovert rising.
And I'm a goth introvert.
We're both curious weirdos, and we both love cats.
But that might be the only thing we have in common.
We are an acquired taste.
Kathleen, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I am feeling rugged today.
Oh, tell me why. Oh, because yes, your off the shoulder NASA graphic tee really screams rugged,
thank
Bethany.
Thank you. I've been chopping wood and planning the next space launch. NASA, never a straight answer. I'm feeling rugged because yesterday, you know when you do your laundry and you have all the laundry that's easy to do, like your towels and your sheets.
Yeah.
And then you have the laundry that has to be hand washed. And so that never gets washed, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, I did the hand washing.
Because I bet it was so satisfying.
It was so satisfying because I'd had a little bit too much caffeine.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like wine.
No. Yeah. No. Never too much.
Yeah, because you get sleepy when you drink wine.
I just go to bed.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have all of this energy and nothing to do with it. Mm. So I have so much I have to get done.
Yes.
But nothing to do.
Nothing to do ever.
So I was like, you know what? I'm looking at you. Wool vest I bought at Goodwill that I haven't worn yet because it's wool and it needs to be washed.
I want to hear about your Goodwill trip after you finish your hand washing story.
So I got this $2 100% wool vest.
Yes.
And it's adorable and it's purple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm going to hand wash it. And I hand washed it and I wrung it out and my hands were raw from the cold, cold water.
Yeah.
And then I took a big fluffy towel and I laid the vest on it and I rolled the towel up and then I unrolled it because that's how you wring the water out.
Bethany, I've literally only seen that trick on Instagram.
It works so well. This is what my mother taught me because she knits, you know, and you have to like wash things that are knitted very specifically.
Yeah.
And then I laid it flat to dry. So I washed one thing by hand and my God, I felt like woman of the year.
Bethany, that is, okay, this is just an example of you have to put your oxygen mask on first.
Absolutely.
Before you can save anybody else. And yesterday, your oxygen mask was washing a hand-knit sweater.
My oxygen mask was firmly in place.
Yeah.
The oxygen was flowing freely, even if my bag didn't inflate. And I felt like things were coming together for Bethany yesterday.
Bethany, I had an appointment with my nutritionist, Rachel, yesterday.
Shout out to Rachel. Pack up for backup.
Pack up for backup. We should have her on this podcast.
Why the hell not?
She's just like so funny and so bubbly. Anyway, I was telling her about how I've really been leaning into putting my oxygen mask on first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to NPR, WNYC this week, and someone called in about like their family needs money. And the woman giving money advice mm-hmm. was like, you have to put on your oxygen mask first. So when it comes to money, you have to make sure that you're paying your bills, that you have everything you need, and that you're financially stable and that you're contributing to your future and your retirement before you can help anybody else. And so this idea of the oxygen mask in terms of me, it's like oxygen mask Saturdays makes it seem catchy. That's when I'm going to do food prep, not meal prep. Meal prep is scary. Food prep is like cutting carrots and putting them in a container.
Oh, this is great.
Right.
Yeah. Semantics.
And so it's just like someday days, you're just going to have to tell the world, today is my oxygen mask. I'm oxygen masking.
Yeah, it's right? My OMD, my oxygen mask day.
And that's what you were doing. You were taking care of something that was hanging over your head, even though you had technically more important other things to do.
So many.
But you had to take care of yourself first.
And when you're done, you feel like you have accomplished so much. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why women who used to be locked in the cabins while their husbands went out hunting on the Oregon Trail did so well mentally and in no way went crazy
mm-hmm.
because they got to do things like laundry by hand all the time. And it's great. If you're just doing nothing but manual labor for the purpose of like just making your bare minimum essentials come to fruition, everything is great for you.
I know you kind of said, and they never went crazy. Like,
ever.
Wink, wink, wink. Though that sounds kind of lovely to me.
Only because you're living in a world, as are all of us, that is overstimulated.
Yeah.
I think if you woke up every day with a lot of children to handle and your husband is off shooting way too many buffalo for sustainability, you get what's it called? Prairie Madness?
Is that what it's called?
Wait, now we're going to look this up. You're going to hear my phone charm because I am a kawaii girl.
Well, you know what? I'm a young person too. I'm going to hold up my new sneakers on the table.
Ooh, are those Skechers?
No, I got the Vans checkered slip-ons.
Oh my God.
Because it signals to the world that I'm young and hip.
Prairie Madness is a documented phenomenon wherein immigrants who settled the Great Plains experienced episodes of depression and violent behavior, commonly attributed to the isolation of the households and settlements.
Okay, so I experienced Prairie Madness a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think so,
no,
but
I
let's
did.
Use it loosely.
I did. And I lost my mind one day and sent Neil a list of things that he needs to help me with, Bethany. That's how I phrased it because I'm really good at communication.
Yeah, you learned the you statement, the I statement rules early on.
Every time I'm sending you a text, or at least in the past, sometimes I'll like read it to Neil first and he's like, no. You don't know how to communicate effectively with anybody.
Do you remember in health class where they taught us I statements, like growing up in health class? Did
no.
you ever learn that?
No,
oh,
what
we
was
learned
that?
You learned how to, you never learned I statements?
No.
What?
No, what's an I statement?
This was like hammered into our heads in health class growing up all through school. I statement is when there's a conflict.
Yeah.
You're supposed to use I statements, not you statements. So it makes the person not feel attacked. So you, instead of saying like you screwed up, you want to say, I feel frustrated because this thing didn't get done.
Okay, so maybe I should have phrased this thing to Neil like, I need help with a handful of things instead of you need to help me with these things.
I'm floored that the New Jersey public school system did not teach I statements.
I mean, Bethany.
True. Okay, they taught table flipping 101.
They taught table, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what'd you say to Neil?
What we learned in health class was the, hey, you statements. Hey, you. Okay, so I woke up one morning and I was just like, you know what? Like, I need help with all these things. And like, I'm putting my fist down on, I'm actively stopping. I hate invisible labor.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I was like, I'm not participating in invisible labor anymore. Because I was like, he does the dishes and acts like a hero.
How'd that go over?
Not well. No. So I sent him a list on Amazon, the Alexa app, where there's lists that we can both access.
Okay.
Which is handy because if he's going to Target, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put what I need on the list.
Great,
and he opens his app when he's at Target, whatever. And so I sent him this list and then I said, did you get my list? And I had like a moment of prairie fever where there was like so much to do around the house. And I was like, I absolutely can't handle it anymore.
How did he respond to, did you get my list?
He didn't. And then later in the day, I said to him in person, hey, so did you get my list? And he was like, I got it. And then it turned into a blowout fight. We're actually stronger for it now, as we always are after our fights. But yes, and we decided to, like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, we are going to divvy up laundry responsibility.
Yeah, great.
Because I just felt like he was only doing his clothes and then leaving everything else to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair. And he may not have realized he was doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it.
Yeah. And you know what? He's like, but you like everything in a particular way. You
that's
like it washed
true.
In a certain way. And I'm like, okay, let me explain my detailed rules about washing laundry and then we can do it together.
It's really funny because I don't want Dennis touching my laundry. Don't touch it because he has the most low maintenance laundry.
Oh, I feel like a lot of, I don't, this is a generalization, but like a lot of guys do.
I think like he has the highest maintenance dish washing requirements.
Yes.
All of his stuff is hand wash only.
Neil won't even let me touch the dishwasher.
It's crazy.
He mocks me for the way that I load it.
But he has the lowest maintenance laundry, whereas I need everything
hand washed
or hung to dry. Mm. Some of my blacks can be dried, but most of my blacks need to be hung dried. And then you have to hang them in a certain way. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Because the blacks won't stay as black.
Right.
The black will fade. And then you're like, I have no more black clothes. These are all gray clothes.
I have shades of gray, roughly 49 to 50 of them. Speaking of hand washing, can I tell you what I used yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What kind of detergent did you use to hand wash your sweater?
I used Earth Breeze.
Oh.
And here's what I discovered.
Yeah.
So you know how you get Earth Breeze? It's not liquid detergent. It's sheets of detergent.
Yes. You know, one of my favorite sponsors of this podcast, I love this product. Yeah. And I didn't even know that it existed until we partnered with Earth Breeze.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm only washing one thing, but I'm going to use a full strip just to make sure it gets clean.
Yeah.
Gentle listener, if you think that one strip of Earth Breeze detergent is not enough for a full load, let me tell you how sudsy it got. Yeah. And it took me forever to rinse out my one hand washing item because one strip of detergent is so much detergent, even though it's concentrated into one strip.
Listen, I have no research to back this up, but I'm going to go ahead and say the number one laundry mistake in America is adding too much detergent.
100%.
100%. You know, I recently saw a video of a laundry pod. I'm not going to name any names, but it takes so much longer to actually open up and put soap on your clothes that the soap like wasn't staying on your clothes long enough. That's why Earth Breeze is amazing because it starts sudsing right away.
Right away. And you may not think about it, but laundry detergent comes in these giant plastic jugs. They're heavy to carry home. They're bulky to have in your house. And then to try to put that heavy jug's worth of amount of detergent into your laundry, you're spilling, you're throwing things around. Earth Breeze is so much easier. They dissolve 100% in any wash cycle, hot or cold.
Yeah.
It could not be easier.
And with their buy one, get 10 initiative, each purchase donates 10 loads of detergent to the charitable cause of your choice. So that's like a whopping 30 million loads that have already been donated. And these little sheets can turn a chore into an act of kindness.
And I got to tell you, it is incredibly hard to find laundry detergent that is cruelty-free. Super, super hard.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, the majority of laundry detergents are absolutely not cruelty-free.
Wow.
So Earth Breeze is. And now is the time to try Earth Breeze because right now you can subscribe and save 40%. You just have to go to earthbreeze.com/taste to get started.
Wait, Bethany, if I subscribe to Earth Breeze, they just send it to my house and I never have to go out and buy a huge jug?
Correct. That's earthbreeze.com/taste for 40% off. earthbreeze.com/taste.
I want to go back to something you said at the beginning of the podcast. Tell me about the trip that you and Dennis took to the Goodwill.
So we have a Goodwill near us.
Yeah.
We looked up Goodwills that were like far away.
Yeah.
We're going to take a day trip to Goodwill because we're exciting people.
Yeah, and like go to a bunch of Goodwills.
Yeah. Every Goodwill we went to sucked.
Well, they're not open on the weekends. The ones by me. They're like Wednesday to Friday type deal.
Oh, really?
And the hours are like 11 to 4 and I get really mad.
No, the ones we went to were open, but they just weren't great.
Yeah.
And then we were like, let's go to the home one and see what they have. And that one rules. And we realized we should have stayed home the whole time. It negatively reinforced the wrong lesson. But so we went to Goodwill.
Yeah.
I told you during our Patreon live show, I found two Pyrex food storage containers.
Yeah.
Glass on the bottom, like circular. And then the lids were plastic screw-on lids.
Amazing.
That had fruit patterns around the outside, like they were made in the 50s.
You're talking dirty to me now.
So great.
Is it colorful?
So colorful.
Oh, Kathleen loves color.
Kathleen does. I found those. Dennis gives himself $20 a month to splurge on anything he wants.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so because we're being super tight with money right now.
Yeah, and so when you go to Goodwill, it you can get some really cool stuff.
He got 50 DVDs for $20 because something was happening.
Yeah.
There was some sort of sale, and he's like working to rebuild his DVD collection because physical media.
Yeah.
He got 50 DVDs for some Blu-rays because the woman didn't charge him extra for the Blu-rays.
Yeah, don't you love it when they don't put the right sticker on the item?
So he got that, and then I got a $1.99 heavy duty swing line 3-hole punch for when you need to 3-hole punch those documents and you don't want to go like 3 sheets at a time. This thing will 3-hole punch your car.
Wait, a song just popped into my head. What's that song? Let me see you 1-2 something. Okay, let me see you three-hole punch. Let me see you three-hole punch.
And then I come at you, and all of a sudden, you're three-hole punch gym.
Bethany.
This thing is amazing. It's heavy.
Yeah.
Like, physically, I mean, it's an imposing presence.
When you're not doing office work, you should keep it in your nightstand as a weapon.
Abso-friggin-lutely, because here's the other thing. When you swing it hard enough, yeah, confetti comes out.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Goodwill, I've been meaning to, like, kind of make a chart of the Goodwills in New Jersey.
Sure, yeah.
And then do correlations between the wealthier areas of New Jersey. Yeah. New Jersey, and like see if it matches up with how good the stuff at the Goodwill is.
I feel like there has to be a correlation.
There is a girl that I follow on Instagram. I can't remember her handle, but the name of her book, it just came out. It's called Big Thrift Energy.
Nice.
And she lives in California. Uh-huh. And I feel like in other states, the secondhand shops there, they just hit differently.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's just better stuff. Mm. Like we've talked about, I don't know if it was together on this podcast, but we've talked about that one thrifter in California in Palm Beach. I think her account on Instagram is like the Palm Beach Thrifter or whatever. She gets the most amazing stuff. And then like I go to New Jersey and it's like a worn down wicker chair at the Goodwill.
I know. I really think that it depends on what neighborhood you're goodwilling at.
Yeah.
But it is. And you also have to be willing to go every single day. There are people who thrift on their YouTube channels and they're literally going to Goodwill every day. And there's one that we watch at home because he does electronics.
Yes.
And so he'll like go to different Goodwills. And there have been times where he's apologized for not putting a Goodwill video out in a while. And he's like, because it takes me months and months of going to Goodwill every day to get enough content for one video.
Yeah.
Because you really are, you're looking for, you know, not every Goodwill allows you to try the electronics to see if they work or not.
Yeah.
So you have to find like the ones that actually work and the keyboards that actually work and the computers that actually work and all this stuff. And it's a time consuming hobby if it's something you're trying to like make a living from.
Oh yeah, for sure. The people who sell clothing that they buy at Goodwill, they're looking for very specific brands because they know what will sell and they know what is kind of like a dud, even though it seems fancy.
It's crazy that all of these jobs that are like, why didn't I think of doing that, are so much harder than just doing like a 9-to-5.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like also you kind of make your own schedule, which is nice.
Yep, totally.
But then you don't have health insurance.
Right. Or a consistent, reliable income.
But then you could make something like, I don't know, $30,000.
Sure.
If you find like 5 really good pieces and mix it into what you're selling, like, or if you just like the time of year, it could be totally amazing and totally awful.
Yeah, it can be incredible or profoundly stressful.
Well, you know what, gentle listeners, if you have a Goodwill by you, let us know if it's a good one, because who knows, Bethany, maybe you and I one day will write a coffee table book about all of the Goodwills in America.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And we're going to make so much money and we're going to get like millions of DVDs at Goodwill. You know,
remember that time we wanted to make a coffee table book of pictures of hair ties that have been left on the ground? And give them all personalities.
This one's Brenda. She's a bitch.
And a backstory. Thanks for hanging out with us today, buds. You can follow me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
And me, Bethany Watson, at Ms. Bethany Watson. And you can follow this podcast. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast on all platforms.
But most importantly, check out our Facebook group. That is our coolest social media real estate.
Until next time, this is your reminder to take a deep breath. Stay weird
and stay curious.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Jessica from New Jersey, and I'm calling because I just want to say thank you so much for continuing this community that has stemmed from the podcast you created. I've been with you since the beginning. I am someone who is very passionate about social justice, mental health, and self-care, and your podcast really brought out the best of all of that, and I'm excited to see where you both go in your lives. I just wanted to read part of a poem that I wrote that kind of reminds me of maybe some of the people who don't want you to end the podcast. Doesn't really matter what I do next. You made your mind up with your fists clenched. Tired of the magma, it's always overflowing. This time it's different. My confidence is growing. That's just part of my little ditty I wrote the other day, but I've seen your confidence, both of you, Bethany and Kathleen, grow over the years. I've been on this journey with you, and thank you for letting me come along for the ride. Thank you from all of us from the Facebook community who've been able to connect over similar difficulties, similar loves, and it's great. Thank you. Take care of yourselves. Bye.